Nope. So before I get harassed by you motherfuckers, I'm four episodes in.
Okay, good.
That's funny. We were talking about that on the way here.
Yeah, because I said I don't even think he started. Tony hates inclusivity and the gays. And
so you probably have a good conversation next week then.
Probably. I'll probably be finished.
It goes quick, Tony.
Yeah. I hope it goes quicker. It's a little slow. The first four episodes are a little slow.
The first four episodes of the first season were a little slow.
You're right. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. That's what I slogged through the first three or four episodes of the first season, and then
you got a little bit more.
I watched the rest of it. So yeah. I'm kind of just. I have a feeling that's just the pacing of the season.
The first three or four episodes of this season are light on Wolfgang, so I can see why.
You're right. You are. I think he's been in a scene. Like, I think it was episode three, there was some stuff with Wolfgang, but not much.
Things escalate. Oh,
he shows up.
I figured they did.
He shows up way more.
I find there are three characters that I'm the most interested in right now, mm-hmm. and none of them are the Sensates.
Really?
Really.
Who are you most interested in?
Bug.
Yes.
Wolfie's buddy. and what's her name's dad?
Bug, Felix.
Oh, yeah. Riley's dad.
And Riley's dad. Yep. They all kind of look alike.
Yeah, they're all the same person.
Her dad is a ghoul.
He is. Listen. But I just like the character. I think he's a great guy.
Felix is way worse than the other two. I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah, he's just an interesting character to me.
Her dad's great because, like, he just looks so sinister that you would just expect you expect bad shit to happen.
And he's just such a sweet guy.
He's just playing a cool bro.
Playing Teenage Wasteland all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, things escalate, so.
I assumed they did.
Yeah.
They don't escalate. The trend that books all storytelling forever. Yeah.
It just meanders.
Yeah.
The other Wachowski doesn't direct this season.
Yeah, this one's just
right. It's just Lana.
Just Lana and Straczynski are doing the story, I think.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to the other one. I don't know where she went.
Instead of transitioning, she ascended?
It's good enough for Daniel Jackson.
I thought she was doing something else.
She's doing something else.
Which is why...
No, I assume she's not doing anything.
I was just on Sensate's Wikipedia page yesterday. I think it said that she was doing something else for this season.
Enjoying her womanhood?
Doing something else for Sensate?
Making cash angels on her giant pile of cash from the previous season.
From the Matrix?
Probably from the Matrix. Yeah, probably still just making from the Matrix. Yeah,
probably still from the Matrix.
Actually, I read something like this was one of Netflix's most successful originals.
That seems...
It was something like 70% of people who get through the third episode finish the entire season.
If that's their Matrix, I can understand why.
Okay, but House of Cards is their most successful series, like in terms of awards and watchership.
I thought some of the Marvel stuff for viewership.
For House of Cards
for viewership. You know, for what? An individual season, I don't know.
I believe Netflix publishes their stats, don't they? I think they do.
Some of them.
I haven't watched either of these, so I don't know.
Netflix.
Have you watched any Leftovers yet?
Kevin just did not burn the Gospel of Kevin.
Oh.
Yeah, he was holding it over the barrel, and then he walked away with it.
Okay. So you're not caught up.
No, I'm not caught up.
Because, what was it, the second episode?
Yes. Okay. The name of the episode is The Gospel of Kevin.
The Book of Kevin.
The Book of Kevin.
Yeah. So you next episode's crazy white guy thinking. Spoiler, it is completely set in Australia, and it's all about Kevin Sr.
Good. I love that guy. Oh, I love that actor.
It's good. It's really good, too.
Do you want the 13 highest? Well,
so here's what I read. It wasn't like their most successful, and I'm trying not to cough right now.
It's not even the top 13.
But I guess it's extremely successful in a lot of new markets for Netflix, like Brazil, and France and Germany.
I can definitely see that because they're inclusive in Europe and South America and Africa. I mean, they've got characters that are literally global.
Yeah. It's also heavily binged and heavily re-binged. There are a lot of people who will watch it 5 or 6 times in a row, like the whole season.
Wow. I can't. I don't think I could do that.
I don't know if popular.
Sure.
You want to take a guess at which one it is?
Well, you kept
saying. This could be a fun game.
House of Cards.
It's not.
Orange is the New Black?
Nope.
Really?
Not even on the list.
At all? Are they doing it by season or by series?
By series.
So here's the thing.
Well, because.
This is by series.
Okay.
I didn't even know Netflix had 13 original series.
Oh, so yeah.
They have like 100. They have a ton of them.
And they're like a couple each month now. They're like almost weekly they're coming out with new ones.
That's good.
I forgot this thing even came out, although it was a big deal. It was probably one of the most popular things that they had come out in the last year.
I mean, I'm blanking.
Stop teasing me.
Fuller House.
Oh, yeah.
21.5 million.
That's right.
All right, we'll take a guess at number 2, weighing in at 19.35 million. This was another big cultural phenomenon you heard about for all, I don't know, maybe a month or two, and then it died away, and then nobody ever talked about it again. Making a Murderer.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that was a Netflix original.
Yep.
Number 3, now steep drop-off on the watchership. That's 11.5 million. No guesses? Now we're into the Marvels.
Sharknado.
If we're into the Marvels, depending on when this was published, it's Iron Fist.
This is probably pre-Iron Fist.
Then I would say it's probably Luke Cage. Oh, really?
Daredevil. First one.
Oh, because
it's got two seasons. Yeah. I've never heard of The Ranch, and I assume nobody else here has.
I've seen the thumbnail for it.
It looks terrible.
Yeah.
Number 5, another Marvel.
Jessica Jones
at 10 million. Number 6 at 9 million. This was the big surprise for me.
Did this have been House of Cards?
This is House of Cards.
That it was that low?
Yeah, it was that low. Under Jessica Jones? That's crazy.
Not really.
I don't think that's crazy.
Are you kidding me?
Here's the thing about House of Cards.
This is an award-winning show.
House of Cards is talked about by a lot of people in the media. There are a lot of people in House of Cards that are the people in the media and the politicians are the subject of House of Cards.
So they talk
about it.
All right. So here's the thing. If they're doing it based on unique listenership or viewership.
Sure.
I can see how it's less than a Marvel property.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Now, eyeballs on episodes, it's got to beat them because it's got multiple seasons. What is it, like their fourth or fifth season?
Yeah, they're like their fourth. Some seasons just coming out.
Right.
I couldn't get past the first episode, so.
We watched the first half of the first season, and we just were watching other things also, so we stopped.
The first episode, he kills a dog, Tony.
I didn't remember that.
Just the first thing that happens. All right, anyway. Spoiler. Number 7. 8.5 million. I would not have expected this one to be this high. This is an SNL... in the SNL family.
I don't know.
The new season drops at the end of the month.
Wayne's World?
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
Oh, I was going to say that, but I didn't know
that's coming. Another season coming out that soon.
Yep. F is for Family. I assume nobody else has watched any of this.
No.
Master of None.
I have heard of it. I have not watched it yet.
I watched most of the first season last night. It's pretty funny.
I've heard it's pretty funny. I just haven't got around to it yet.
It's pretty funny. Has anybody watched any of Love? I was talking about it in the car on the way here because Andy Dick is in it, and Andy Dick plays Andy Dick.
again, I've seen the thumbnail for it, but I've not watched any of it.
It's pretty good. I've never seen Flaked either.
I'd never even heard
never
of that.
Never heard of it. I've seen With Bob and David, which is Bob Odenkirk and David Cross.
Yes.
If you skipped it, you would not be missing.
I've not watched it. I've seen the advertising for it.
Yeah. Ah, shoot, this came out as of last year. You know what? Fuck everything.
So...
that's probably why Stranger Things wasn't number one on this list.
Yeah. So there are a couple TV shows that we're watching that you may be interested in.
Go on.
One, they're both comedies. One of them is broadcast TV.
Tony.
It's made. It's under Tina Fey's group of writers.
Go on.
So it's Robert it's got
Carlock.
This, it's got the same feel
mm-hmm.
as like 30 Rock.
Go on.
Good News. Great News. It's called Great News.
Great News.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound like Good News.
The premise sounds goofy, but the premise of 30 Rock is goofy. If you're just sure. looking at premise, it's really funny though.
Briga Halan.
It's got
Briga Halan.
The stylings of a Tina Fey comedy. The joke timing is very Tina Fey.
Yeah.
The other one is called Brockmeyer.
Brockmeyer.
It's Hank Azaria.
Go on.
Playing a washed up baseball announcer.
Okay.
So the downside to it for you is that it's baseball.
I do hate baseball.
I know you do.
Oh, but Amanda Peet is in it.
Amanda Peet is in it.
Mm.
Brockmeyer is.
Go on.
He is an alcoholic. He and Amanda Peet, in the second episode, they realize they fuck. So the team wins. So that means, therefore, yeah, that means before every game, they got to fuck before every game.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, no, that yeah, makes sense. It's, that's how baseball works.
Yep.
Okay, all right.
And Hank Azaria talks like a baseball. And like, even when he's not in front of a microphone, he talks like that. Like which Hank just Azaria. Adds it's adds to the funny. You don't?
No. Mm. Fuck that guy. He looks like a serial rapist.
It works for him in this show. Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Does he play a serial rapist?
Mm, not really.
Not really.
Is there a reason you're really tapping like a... your screen? Because I saw you doing that last week, too.
This is Tap Tap Fish.
What does that mean?
So, is it an aquarium?
Is it a game?
Yeah, it kind of.
So, you're doing exactly what you shouldn't do to an aquarium, which
is tapping on it. When I tap
Did Shed kick you out for doing that? When
no, but they wouldn't let us dry our hands.
I have to tap it in order to get vitality, which I use to create more fish, which allows me to generate more vitality.
And then spend money.
Yeah. I'm trying to get the biggest blue whale. I have a blue whale, which is very important to me. You all should know this. But I need the bigger blue whale.
The biggest, bluest whale.
All right. I saw you doing it. I was just curious because I didn't
it's just
know
what's something
going
on. I can literally just sit here doing this.
Yeah.
And then when Adam and Alex are jacking off about interest rates.
I still maintain I was right.
You can jack off your fish.
Yeah,
you
were.
What?
Fish.
You were. I know. Oh. That's why I still maintain I was right.
Have you guys seen this fucking house? That
I need more.
It's been taken down now, but it went up on Zillow, and
you know I don't.
Is it the clown Zillow. House?
No.
Oh,
it was.
I just got rid of one house. I'm not really looking for another one.
Zillow. There's this house. The address is like 709 Michaelmas Avenue in South Carolina, and they had a bunch of pictures of it. Here, I can throw the pictures up on your Chromecast if you...
I have to switch over to the Chromecast. Hang on a
second. Alexa, switch over to Chromecast.
Thank you, Alexa.
At home, my labia light just went on. The cats don't like it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is it Chrome-mast?
Yes, it is. Not balcony. The balcony is the upstairs one. Oh, it's sideways. Oh, there we go.
The house is sideways.
So there are all these pictures of the house. Can't tell if you. there's a hole in the ceiling over there. There's some fucked up floorboards.
That was a ceiling.
No, it wasn't.
That's a floor. Down. Yeah.
No,
no,
it wasn't.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're
oh,
right.
It's both.
Oh, yeah, it's mirrored. Like, the house is mirrored.
There's this.
Murder chimney, and then what is that? A trombone?
Tuba? Yeah, like a yard tuba and a...
Well, yeah, everybody's got a yard tuba.
Throne for a rock golem or something.
It's for the stone throne.
Yeah, for the mother of dragons.
Nice. Bag
windows,
of trash.
There are windows in the...
Windows that go into another room. Porch,
yeah. How do these people not know how to...
Stage the house.
Stage a house.
We've got a focused in shot on the hole.
So anyway, so with all these pictures in mind, the description for this listing to like a 2,600 square foot house for only $155,000. It says it is almost definitely not eligible for a loan to be against it.
So you have to pay cash?
Right. And then it says that the upstairs apartment cannot be inspected or viewed under any circumstances, no matter what. There is a tenant that lives up there who pays $0 in rent, and then there's a lease saying that they will continue to do that forever, and you can't charge them rent, and you can never go into their apartment.
Why are you on Zillow?
Because...
Yeah, where did you find this?
Is that blood?
Yeah, that's probably blood from someone trying to escape on that door.
Or get in.
That's definitely a wasp haven.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, I see that. Trust me, I felt that
the
in my
worst
soul.
Part about that is that there's a tenant upstairs who will live there for
in
free.
Perpetuity.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know how that would even legally
Everything
work.
Everything else
it's
can
illegal.
Be fixed.
I know it's illegal.
The contract is illegal.
Wow. Yeah.
So, that's not what I tried to do.
Could be.
Not connected to screen sharing!
Well, that's fun.
Sharing has ended.
That's good.
No, it hasn't.
Glad
now,
to know.
Now the porn can come back.
It'll be back.
Okay. I think it actually
Yeah, you're
ended.
Fine now. It's fine. It's
so,
all good here.
It's all fine.
Should we buy that house in South Carolina?
No.
That's definitely not
Why would
not
you live in South
down.
Carolina? The rest of it's fine, but South Carolina?
The rest of it's fine.
I agree.
Like, that place needs to be condemned.
Yeah. South Carolina needs to be condemned.
Yeah, all right. I don't really know anything about South Carolina, but...
I say that... Confident that we most likely have no one listening from South Carolina.
Look, we got a pretty good chance.
Pod stats don't tell you?
I don't look at them.
Mine gave me a heat map.
I don't bother.
I just like numbers.
The numbers are too small for me to really get excited about.
That's fair.
That was part of the discussion I had with T.
Oh, yeah.
when he was like, so yeah, we're doing this. Doing this chapter called Podcasting for Passion, it was like, well, not doing it for the money.
Oh, man.
I think Tony's just got this elaborate, the podcast doesn't make money scheme going. And
I don't think that's how that works.
He's just raking it in somewhere.
I'm really sure that's not how that works. Like, I can't tell you that for sure, but I'm pretty sure.
If you've listened to the episodes, you know there's no advertising. Because that would be, like, one of the first things.
Yeah.
Except for all the product placement that we do. But there aren't any cameras, so it's really weird.
Yeah. It's actually that sweet Qdoba contract that
I
have.
Say, it's all that Qdoba money.
Yeah.
You know,
so if you guys ever change where you're going, if you guys ever change where you're going, I'm going to have to backpedal on these contracts.
Jeopardy, if I keep making these
really
ideas.
Quick.
His contract is only that he can make three people once a week by Qdoba. They give him like...
You get like a 10% kickback
in
gift cards.
Of what you guys buy.
Right, yeah. It's just of what we buy.
Yeah.
Those three showed up again. Oh, I get a $2 card this
nice.
Week. Nice. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Alex.
This is Kayla.
This is David.
We are the Backseat Producers. Are you guys going to watch Guardians this week?
I got to do a thing on Friday. What are you guys doing on Saturday?
What thing are you doing Friday?
I think you already know.
What are we doing Saturday? I already said that we should make plans to do something Saturday.
All right, well, then we'll see it Saturday.
All right.
Done. We've made plans.
Nice.
All right. So next week we'll do Guardians.
Next week we'll do Guardians.
I've already seen it, so...
Oh, well, Tony's ahead of the game.
I can take all that time and edit the episodes that I haven't released yet.
Nah, don't do that. That sucks. I was invited to see it Monday, but then I was like,
You probably didn't recover.
Yesterday. Mm. Not Monday. Which is after we canceled trivia because Alex's flesh is weak.
Talking about you, Alex.
I know, I'm setting the calendar reminder for us, though. So. just keep talking amongst yourselves.
That's a good call, because I already forgot what we agreed to do. Man, I got something going on every day this weekend. You know what that means? Not enough Factorio. I got this sweet uranium enrichment process going. The problem is now that I have only enriched uranium and none of the unenriched uranium, which I need to make everything else work, it's a burden. It is a burden.
Yeah, I started looking back into Factorio.
I saw.
And I played the...
I saw.
The campaign again.
Yeah, they added to it.
They've changed it. Well, they had to because the...
They've changed
the
stuff.
The artifacts...
Don't exist anymore.
And they've added the way the science things work now, they're very specific.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah, that's clever. Like these are the military science things you need to build. Oh, okay. That makes a little more sense.
It really pissed me off though, because they changed the requirements for them in the middle of from beta 15.5 to 15.7, they changed the requirements and I already had my fucking factory producing them. Why the shift everything around. Then I used drones and I felt dirty, so I had to get rid of like two full layers of my fucking factory to refix it. You know how much I hate using drones for shit like that.
What, for moving material around?
Yeah.
I did that a lot.
That's not what they're there for.
What are they there for then?
Hey, you watch your mouth. They're there to supply you and take away your trash. That's what they're there for.
So you haven't quite got there yet in
Leftovers.
Leftovers. But there's something... Actually, I take that back. You have. You saw the episode with Mark Lynn Baker. Yes?
The fuck is that?
The guy from Perfect Strangers?
What the fuck is that?
Okay, so you haven't. Never mind.
I don't even know what that is.
Never mind.
All right, well, while we're on the subject of talking about things Alex and Kayla have no experience with, and...
My point was that the episode last week, I meant to mention last week, that there are things that happen in parts of the Leftovers Season 3 that remind me of the Discovery.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of it, I mean, a lot of it comes down to there is an event that happened that fundamentally changed human history.
Mm-hmm.
And... They're dealing with the ramifications of it. That happens in both The Leftovers and in The Discovery.
Oh, you know what? I've only watched the first episode.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's the second episode that...
But shit.
Second episode is...
It's Nora heavy.
Don't be ridiculous.
I do like Nora.
It is Nora heavy.
I know it is. I just read the description. Yep. Can we talk about the best show on television right now?
American Gods?
Holy shit, is that so fucking good?
It's so good.
Oh god, when it opened last week with Mr. Nancy fucking Orlando Jones riling up those slaves. Oh shit.
I didn't understand what they were doing with the first episode where they did the Vikings.
Yeah.
But now that I saw the second episode, I completely get where they're going with showing us how the old gods came to America.
Yeah.
That was really good. That's really good.
Oh, man. It's so...
It's... The show is very...
The dialogue is snappy and the visuals are incredible.
The visuals are and the dialogue is snappy, but they aren't telling you a whole lot of about what's going on. If you don't know... If you really don't... If you haven't read the book... There's a lot of what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
It's so, there, but...
The weird thing about this is, so I thought that they've been overly... Like, in the book, you don't know.
As a reader, as a person who read the book, it feels like they're overtelling.
Yeah,
maybe. But not. Julie is out. She's like, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Even when Chernobog showed up!
I know. I know.
No!
I know.
That guy's so... That whole fucking sequence was so good. Oh my god, Tony.
I know. I can't.
Tony, I can't.
It's so good.
I can't. All right, fine. Alex and Kayla are IMing. It's just gross. Hey, you know American Gods, the show I've been telling you to watch? You should watch it.
You know, like, how hard it is for us to get into shows. Like,
you know how many shows I've told you to watch that you've just been like, I hated this and never wanted to watch it again.
How many shows have we actually picked up?
You mean Avatar? I made you watch Arrested Development?
I didn't get to watch Arrested Development.
That's on you.
That is not on me.
That's on that family. Sense8?
Sense8's so good. Listen, I have this problem with everything. Like, I love reading, but, like, it takes me so long and so much energy to start a book.
There's
episodes. I love reading. And it's the same way with everything.
There's two episodes.
Of what?
American Gods. There's two episodes.
The third one will come out Sunday.
Alex can have it by the time it's on Amazon. You already have it.
You're not listening.
You're not listening to me.
No, you're not listening.
But Adam, there are excuses.
Yeah, there are many excuses.
It isn't an excuse. It's just the way I am. Like, there isn't a good reason for it. I'm like, yeah, that show sounds amazing.
It is. It is so good. What was the other thing? There was another one. God
damn it. 30 Rock, wasn't it?
No, I watched 30 Rock.
Okay.
I'll think of it. I know there was another one.
Parks and Rec.
No, you watched that before me.
No.
Oh, well, then you're welcome.
That's the one I was thinking of.
That's the one I was thinking of.
We started watching Parks and Rec, and then you were like, no, continue in the second season.
Power through. Yeah. The power through is incredible.
No, you told us to just start at season 2.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That was the right call, too.
Because I still don't think I've seen the first season all the way through. We watched like three or four episodes.
You didn't miss anything.
It was a short season, too, I think.
Yeah.
I watched Stranger Things. I don't think you told me to, but I watched that on my own, and I loved it. Like, I know that I will love these shows, but I just won't do it. There's no good reason for it.
I've been watching Kayla play Ni No Kuni. Does that count?
No.
That game is, like, 5 years old. Uh-oh. And everyone was like, oh, this game is so good. I'm like, yeah, it looks really good.
It's a 50-minute investment. Once a week.
Is it on its first season?
Yes. Yeah.
It's two episodes.
Literally.
Okay.
4 days ago, there was only one.
Yeah, but in a few days, there's going to be three.
I know.
That's why you're going to catch up now.
Fast.
Yeah.
Have you seen Fargo?
Oh, we started watching
it. We started to watch it.
No, the movie.
No.
Oh, yeah.
God damn. All right.
I've never seen Fargo.
The guy who
gets put in the wood chipper. I've seen
the wood chipper
scene.
Yeah. He's in it. He's a big hammer.
I told my boss I was going to put some code through a wood chipper, and then I found a gif of that guy shoving the leg through the wood chipper, and I put that in the email.
Which one of you was sick?
What?
Which one of you was sick at the time?
Him.
Anyway, you mark my words. It's so fucking good. You're going to watch it and you'll be like, God damn it. It's going to be like this 1950s. God damn it, he's done it again!
You mean chewing on a cigar?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm J. Jonah Jameson over here, all right?
There's going to be a...
Hey, did you ever watch Hedwig?
Yeah.
We did it for the podcast.
You saw the play. He didn't see it.
I went to go see it live.
You saw the play.
Musical.
Oh, you didn't watch the movie?
He didn't watch the movie.
No. Oh, you should do that.
Okay, I don't want to hear this anymore.
Oh, is this how it's going to be?
Yeah, maybe it is.
I went to the musical!
The musical's nothing like the movie!
Watch one thing. You realize the commitment you're making. If you make him watch one thing...
It's true. The ratio has already been established.
I want you to know that
You had to watch 10 things to the one thing I'll watch for you.
You watch that... He watches that one thing, and you're going to be... on the hook for everything now.
Yeah, we've seen Hedwig, the play, twice. Two different adaptations.
I'm not talking about how many times we've seen it. I'm talking about how many times...
Now, the movie, we've seen like 10 times.
I've seen the movie way more than 10 times.
Watchmen.
Watched it.
I know, I'm counting
up. You know what TV show we started that I actually desperately want to continue watching?
That we started?
Yeah.
No. Oh, True Detective?
Yes.
Mm.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I didn't
either.
It's in my heart.
I'm only like 4 beers in on Matthew McConaughey. When's he going to finish the rest of the beers?
Spoiler. He finishes those beers, goes and gets more beers, finishes those, and then goes and gets more beers.
All right.
He's never finished with the beers.
I don't remember anything about that except that he made somebody go buy him beer.
Yeah.
That happens a lot.
And season 2 is completely different.
Yeah.
I like season 2. I just want to finish
season 1. Just, I want to know what the fuck. Like, there's a lot of weird shit happening that I don't understand.
It gets weirder.
Why is Matthew McConaughey being interviewed for this past relationship with not relationship, but like.
Why does he have a drooping mustache?
Yeah. What is up with that mustache?
Also, what does he do now?
Is that directly like. What?
Like, is he a mechanic in this?
He's a true detective.
I'll finish watching that with you when your house is quieter.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I don't like watching things with subtitles.
Yeah, I'll like in finish English. Watching things. Everything we watch has subtitles now. I just
know.
Realized that.
Yeah, I know. When we watched the Christmas special for Sense8, I'm like, what? Why are we? Why is subtitle? Oh. Yeah.
Then the screaming started.
Oh.
Let's not give any context during this episode. Let's just leave it at that.
Oh, that's completely appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially looking at the murder house that Alex just yeah. featured on Zillow that he's honestly talking about purchasing.
By the way, Anna's house has a murder room. Like an honest-to-God murder room.
Oh my God.
Our old house had one.
Like, you'd think it was a furnace room, but there's no furnace. It's just a tiny room.
Ours was in the corner of a basement, and the basement had, like, cement walls, except for when you went into this little room and it was all brick, like big fat bricks.
Someone was
and this room was probably a little bit smaller than that bathroom.
And there was a grate in the middle, and the floor sloped to it. Yeah,
hooks on the walls.
Soundproofing was really all right. So Guardians next week.
Yeah,
yeah, we can do that.
All right, let's start talking about this movie.
Kayla, what'd you think?
It was a movie starring Bruce Willis.
This sounds like how I start book reports for books I didn't read. Unbreakable was a movie.
It was about things not being broken.
It was directed by M. Night Shyamalan in 2000.
The year of 2000.
It released in December in the second week.
That was the year that Y2K didn't matter.
I thought I had seen this movie before, but apparently I had only seen the beginning scene where the train crashes. You don't even see that, but I right. just remember him being on a train and that it crashes and he's so unbreakable that like he survives. Apparently I didn't watch any of the rest of it. To be fair, I was 11.
Also in the book report.
The year of 2000. The year of our Lord.
I was a fresh-faced 11.
Got to get that word count up.
Yeah. Eager to view the world with my young, inquisitive eyes. Tony, I'm in a mood tonight, man. I don't know what the deal is.
Alex, what'd you think?
This movie is and starred a train wreck.
Oh,
start a train.
Now,
the thing is,
am I saying that as a metaphor about the actors, or no. am I talking about a literal train wreck?
So, what I love about your review is neither of those points are correct. There was neither an actual train wreck in the movie, nor was this movie a train wreck.
I was actually surprised. I'm going to go next, Tony, just because I want to.
Yeah, I figured.
I was actually surprised how much I enjoyed this movie.
Had you seen it before?
I had seen it before and did not like the movie, and now that I've revisited it with my old wizened eyes in the year of our Lord, 2017. I had originally seen it in year 2000 of our Lord. 2000.
I saw it in the theater when it came out and loved the movie the second I walked out of it. I loved it.
Is it because you want a glass cane?
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
No, I really liked it. It was a superhero movie when there really hadn't been a whole lot of superhero movies. not seriously done.
Sure.
We were just getting into...
Are you trying to tell me this was the Dark X-Men? Knight before the Dark Knight?
It was Batman Begins before Batman Begins.
Go on.
I just really liked it. And knowing a little bit about M. Night Shyamalan's style, I just thought it was a brilliantly made movie also.
Yeah, this movie reminded me that the guy is a talented director, even though he produces a lot of shit.
Yes.
Like his Avatar movie was just a giant steaming turd.
Yeah.
Steaming turd.
It was not in any way good.
No. Everything that you loved about Avatar has been removed and been replaced with turds.
Wow.
Was there a second Avatar movie?
No.
No, this is the Last Airbender. Movie.
This was the Last Airbender.
Oh.
The movie was called The Last Airbender because James Cameron had already used the name Avatar.
I thought we were talking about that movie.
No.
Which
M. Night Shyamalan did not direct.
Yeah, I was like... All
right. No, The Last Airbender was awful.
I never saw it.
Good.
Because everyone...
This is the opposite of a recommendation for me. This is Cursed Child. Do not watch it.
Listen, I'm going to read Cursed Child if I need to read Cursed Child.
Hey,
we're still on that boat.
I gave you ample warning.
It's still sitting by my nightstand. I've still only read the prologue.
I wouldn't recommend continuing, but
I have given ample warning to everyone at the table. You make your own decisions. That's part of being an adult. Yeah, here we are.
Yeah, I made that decision. I stand by that decision, even though I hate that book. I stand by the decision to read it because now I can speak on it in an informed way.
This is how I feel about Fifty Shades of Grey.
Yeah, it is fair. David.
I agree with that. That's the correct way to do it. But later, when you're like, oh, this book ruined everything.
Then didn't ruin everything because I don't consider it to be canon.
That's on you.
It's not on me.
Hermione has my back. The Minister of Magic has my back. Yeah, so the first thing that jumped out at me is this, like, M. Night Shyamalan is, like, violently opposed to having a flat angle camera shot.
Yes. Like, and he his cinematography is really creative.
Yeah.
He is an art house director who fell into ridiculous popularity with Sixth Sense.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore he had the money to make all the movies that he wanted to make.
Yeah.
But people were expecting more
Sixth Sense. And he did not do those movies.
Nope. No, he did not.
Yeah. But it was like, seriously, it was like watching Vince Gilligan.
Yeah.
Because Vince Gilligan loves this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm struggling to come up with scenes that were flat angles and didn't, like, the camera didn't move.
Right. He moves the camera a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like it's very hard for me to get motion sick. There was one scene in this that made me motion sick.
I'm going to say a negatory to
that. Yeah?
Yeah, especially when we're watching things, you are always like... Oh.
Maybe not.
It was like, ugh, I can't watch this. That's you.
What?
That's my flawless impression of you.
Thank you.
What was the scene?
When they were rotating the camera and the comic book.
Oh, yeah.
The kid was like, sitting in the park.
I noticed, I love that. I was going to... I could have told them that without you saying anything.
Oh, see, and that's the kind of stuff that I just love.
Like, yeah. It was like,
the scene in the department store at the beginning where we see Glass's birth and like the way the camera almost never focuses to the right. It always goes left. There's action in the center. It goes left to show you the mirror to see the people on the right. Then it goes center. Then it goes to the mirror. Then it goes all the way to the right to see those people. So you all of a sudden
you can actually see them.
So you, oh shit. Those people aren't over there at all. They're here. Like, I just really dug how they did that.
Yeah. The movie is visually engaging. And for the time, like.
Sixth Sense had a lot of that too.
Yeah, but Sixth Sense sucked.
I disagree.
I don't remember Sixth Sense.
Spoilers. Jesus, God.
Actually, I'm pretty sure we reviewed it already.
That was the one you fell asleep during, I'm pretty sure.
You fell asleep during the recording?
Yeah.
Of the
Because we did...
We riffed-tracked it, didn't we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got drunk.
Yeah, he got drunk and fell asleep halfway through.
Nailed it. What are you talking about? This is what we do here. No, I crushed it. I don't feel bad about it.
You have never felt bad about it, so I didn't expect you to start now.
I also fell asleep to Big Lebowski. I've never seen it all the way through.
You've never seen the movie?
Well, not all the way through. I've tried to watch it like 3 times, and I've fallen asleep and passed out twice. And then the third time, I just gave up. Once I passed out on Luke.
Alex, why did you think this movie was a train wreck?
I just... It would be easy for me to identify the parts that I enjoyed. Because there are much fewer of those.
Then start there.
I liked that the characters were not single-dimensional. The characters actually had some depth. It wasn't just a shitty husband or a superhero or a supervillain. The word super is not even probably appropriate in this case. But other than that, everything just felt cheap. The story just felt bad. Like... the scenes were shot well. I can give you that.
I agree.
I'm out of good stuff. The whole plot feels like it was written by an 11-year-old because none of the adults make adult decisions.
Who?
I'm going to need a citation on that one.
The Bible, Tony. I cite the Bible. Little guy called Jesus.
Bruce Willis's Money character Lander. Screaming at his kid.
That only happens in one scene.
Yeah, that's the scene I'm talking about. To get him to not
shoot
him.
What decision would you have made
in that moment? He was screaming at him not to shoot him.
Yeah. I don't think that screaming at kids helps with anything.
To be fair, he did try to negotiate with him first.
Yeah.
But then...
Also, the things he screamed at him were things that do get through to a child. If you do this, I'm going to go away and never come back. He didn't say, because I will be dead. Which... is heavily implied in that statement.
Well, no, he literally says, I will not... No, you're right. I will not die. I will just pack my shit and get the fuck out of here. Because fuck you. That's why.
He didn't say that, though.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
He doesn't say... No, he doesn't say that.
He doesn't say fuck you.
No, he says, I will leave and I won't come back.
No, he literally says, if you shoot me... You're right. If you shoot me, the bullet will bounce off of me. I will be alive, but I will go pack my stuff and I will move to New York.
Yeah.
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 That's the kind of stuff you say to get through to a kid.
That seems...
It is excessive.
That's problematic.
No, I disagree.
That was literally the only scene in the movie that I found really incredibly interesting.
Oh.
Like, the amount of tension that was in that scene, that kid holding the gun, them trying to figure out what exactly should I say, because it was a very fragile and delicate situation.
They try a lot of different... They throw a bunch of shit at the wall to see what sticks.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not invulnerable. You are going to kill me. Nope, I'm still going to shoot you. All right, fine. You're not going to kill me. I'm just going to fucking leave you.
How about when he doesn't check the weights every single time?
It only happens once.
He trusts his kid to take weights off. His kid puts more weights on. You don't look at the weights that you're lifting? Your kid just overloaded the weights. You're going to...
If you can't tell the difference physically...
The problem
with the assumption that he's going to check the weights and that it matters is that he couldn't tell the difference. Like, oh, I thought it was less weight.
It was more.
It was more. When you're lifting that much weight, it's one of those things that you can't even get it off the bar. Like, the amount of weight he had and the amount of struggle he had the first time compared to the weight that was then added, he shouldn't have been able to lift it off the bar.
I've been stuck under a bar.
Yeah, it sucks.
Because I was stupid. And I was like, well, I lifted this much
last year I can do it again.
Yeah, it was 600 pounds.
When have you ever lifted weight like that?
Something like 12, 13.
When you were 12 years old?
Yeah.
You're just like...
I used to lift weights.
It was when he was in prison.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
When you were 12? Oh, so when you were...
It was like 120 pounds, which is not a lot. Like, I get that it's not a lot.
But 12 year old?
When I was 12, I didn't lift weigh more.
I didn't weigh that much, right? So, like, because I lifted it the year before, and then I didn't lift anything. And then I was like, okay, and I got off the bar, and I got it down here, and it was like, nope! this is where we're at.
So when you were 11 years old,
yeah,
you had been able to lift that much.
Do you even lift, bro?
Do you?
It wasn't that big of a deal.
Like, did you get your son to put more weight on?
No.
Did you check it after he did?
I...
See, now you identify with him.
I angled and pushed
the My biggest problem with this movie is I didn't give a fuck about the main character the entire time. What is his
David
name?
Dunn.
David Dunn.
I didn't give a fuck about him at all. Alex talks about him being a multi-dimensional character, and I don't see that.
He's not a multi-emotion character. He is a one-emotion character.
All of the interesting decisions and things that he does happens off screen. Like, pretty literally. Like, the train wreck, you don't see. The car accident, you kind of see in a flashback, but you don't even really see the accident.
You don't see the accident, and you don't see him pretending to be hurt.
Yeah. The biggest conflict he gets into is in a pool.
With that plastic tarp.
With that tarp. That tarp, though.
That tarp.
The other thing, your weakness is the same as mine. Being deprived of oxygen for extended periods of time.
It's water. I didn't, like, I couldn't fucking get, like, we're all kind of allergic to water in that way. Like,
every human being. We have the same weakness. No, no, it's fucking
water
everybody.
Water gets in our lungs.
Wait, nobody else here is Aquaman? You know what? I gotta get a secret identity. Shit.
I just didn't care about him at all. I didn't care about his kid. The stupid weight thing. Just putting weights on the bar.
His kid had a dumb face, and I was tired of looking at it.
That's exactly what I said at the end of the movie. At the end of the movie, he comes down, and he's like looking at his mom and dad, and I was literally like, I hate this kid's face.
Bruce Willis should have shot him.
Yeah, he should have taken the gun back and then shot him. Be like, how do you like it?
Yeah. How you move to New York?
I like the movie. I like everything about the movie. I still like it.
I like the movie. Don't get me
wrong.
The
two things I liked about it were that scene with the kid with the gun and the very... No, it's not the very last scene. No, it is the very last scene.
Yeah, the breakfast table?
No.
That's the very last scene.
No, it's not.
Oh, you're right.
No, it's when he goes to visit him.
When he goes to the art to limited exhibition edition. And then he goes back into the room.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming. I know this isn't a Shyamalan movie. Although when it happened, I can recount thinking, like, this is getting set up for one of them to become, like,
the villain.
But I didn't, like, he walks in and, like, the dude had done all those terrorist acts. And I hated the way they did the fucking, like, Breakfast Club end where it's like, he's walking away and then the words come on the screen.
David Dunn alerted the authorities and they arrested what's-his-face.
I hated that.
The ending bugged me because I'm okay with him being the villain.
But
I don't understand why he let himself get caught. Like, if it had cut to him, like making bombs or whatever for his next big strike, why did he intentionally get himself caught?
Right. Well, he doesn't think he's the villain.
What?
He knows he's the villain.
He knows he's the villain.
I don't think he does.
His mom talks about it.
Yeah, I think he absolutely knows that he's the villain. And he understands that there's a dichotomy between himself and Dunn that has to exist. And if it doesn't exist, then his life has no purpose.
By the way,
the reason he exists the way he does, there has to be a reason for it. That's and he says that.
Yeah. Here's the thing about this. This is something that really bothers me generally. Let me draw another parallel here, right? So, like, people are all hell-bent on Judas betraying Jesus, right? But, like, the story doesn't make any fucking sense if Judas doesn't betray Jesus.
Right.
So while Judas is the villain, if he's not the villain, you don't actually get a hero. Like, you don't get the rest of the story without him.
Right.
So, like, you kind of have to have him in the equation for it to work.
Yeah, that's not what I'm saying.
And that's, and I think that's exactly what he feels his purpose is.
Yeah. Right. But if you have the meta knowledge to understand that to make the hero, you have to do these bad things, you don't think you're the villain.
I don't agree with that at all.
I don't think he may conceptually believe that
he's not create the villain. The dichotomy. He is the antagonist to the hero.
Yeah.
I understand the words you're saying.
Yeah. Because he doesn't think he did the wrong thing.
He doesn't feel himself evil.
Yes.
He understands that certain sacrifices and certain things have to be done to make a hero.
And he believes he has made the sacrifices, he has done
the things necessary to make the hero.
Yeah. And that's why I don't think he thinks he's the villain.
And that's why I think he also needs to be caught.
No, I think he knows that still makes him a villain. He is way too invested and too knowledgeable about the comic book world to not understand that this also makes him a villain. Like, I think he accepts that, but
I think the two are mutually exclusive. Like, if you understand that you are the villain, but
the things you did
to create the hero, you don't think you're really the villain. You think you're fulfilling that role, like, from a meta perspective, but that's not your motivation. Your motivation isn't to be villainous.
He basically says that he knows he's the villain.
Okay, except look at it this way. Look at Dumbledore. Dumbledore is an evil, manipulative motherfucker.
He is a manipulative dick.
He is.
Why don't we over here while you guys work this out?
Are you going to go whack off? Yeah, just the sound of Dumbledore's name? Like,
oh, Ghost Station!
No, he does what he does in service of putting Harry in a position so that he can be the hero.
The ends don't justify the means. They never do.
But he feels that they do.
So does Dumbledore.
That's what I mean. I meant Dumbledore.
So does what? Some sort of Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
I'm curious as to what other option Dumbledore had.
Well, maybe not using 8-year-old kids in horrifically dangerous scenarios.
But they literally, like, in order to get rid of Voldemort, they had to, like, Harry had to die.
No, I get that. Well, he dies when he's 18. That's different. But basically, Dumbledore grooms him for that his entire life. There's shit that
those kids go through don't need to go through.
He knows his entire life that he's... Dumbledore knows for Harry's entire life that it has to come down to that point.
I think you might be too close to this.
Oh, I don't...
He sticks them at the Dursleys intentionally, even though he knows that the Dursleys are cruel and malicious to him.
That's because of the type of magic...
Yeah, he explains this.
The type of magic that will protect him from Voldemort.
You're telling me that the most powerful wizard in the world can't work out any other scenario?
I mean, no other scenario is presented in the book. Voldemort cannot get to this house because of the protection of Harry's aunt.
Okay, let me turn this question around. You're totally fine with everything Dumbledore did. Dumbledore's not. Dumbledore spends a lot of time apologizing to Harry because he's like, yeah, I was not a good person.
I don't think that's what he says. I don't think he says, I'm not a good person. He has regrets.
What? Why would he have regrets?
Because he didn't... There were times when he should have explained things more to Harry, but he thought that he was doing the right thing by not explaining them to him. Or keeping things from Harry.
I hate that plot. I'm not telling you things to protect you. Come on.
So you, come on.
Come on.
Come on.
I don't think that was the scenario. I think he didn't tell him not because he was protecting him, but because he was manipulating him. He does it a lot. He does it a lot.
Just to manipulate him?
You think it's like a coincidence that Fox shows up in the same in the Chamber of Secrets? You think that's a coincidence it shows up in that book and then coincidentally is at the resolution of that book?
I don't know what we're
talking about. I think there was a little Dumble hand in the story there.
I don't know. We'll need to bring Aaron down. She just finished reading it. So.
If you want to add things, like, that's your inference that you assume Dumbledore had that hand.
He does have that black hand.
In the Chamber of Secrets. Not at that point.
No, not at that point. No, I'm talking about he's the Adam Smith of Harry Potter plots. The fucking invisible plan. The invisible hand. Never mind.
Dumbledore manipulates everything through the first five books. He completely sets up all those scenarios that those kids get into. The dangerous.
He completely sets up all of the scenarios that he purposefully puts those kids into danger every single time.
You know, why did he bring the Philosopher's Stone to Hogwarts?
To protect it. Like,
protect it from whom?
At a place where all the kids are.
You know why he did it.
Why?
He did it to draw out Voldemort.
You think?
Yeah, I do.
I don't agree. I just don't agree with you guys on these.
That's
points.
Why he bought. That's why he brought Harry to Hogwarts too.
I don't necessarily agree with that one.
If we're just making wild inferences,
why wouldn't
yeah,
he just left
course.
Him? Why wouldn't he have just left him with the Dursleys?
Yeah, he could
then?
Have just left him wizard. Being a real kid. Like, but so what? Maybe he would have been better off being a real kid, like, and not entering the wizarding world.
Well, that's a huge problem.
Why?
Because the kids who are wizards that don't go to wizarding school can't control the magic.
Yeah.
They don't ever talk about that in these books.
No. What? Yeah, they do. This Harry gets fined
so
for it.
Terribly flawed.
They almost take away his wand.
He wouldn't have a wand.
It's the beginning of book 3 or 4. He uses magic on somebody. He gets hauled in front of the Minister of Magic, and there's a trial, and they're going to slap the anti-magic shit on him.
The house elf does that.
Why couldn't they just slap the anti-magic shit on him and not bring him to Hogwarts?
I don't know. Why does Dumbledore bring him to Hogwarts then?
That's what I'm saying. If you're just deciding that maybe Dumbledore also invented Voldemort. Maybe Dumbledore literally was just fucking bored one day, invented all of this so that he could die with his cursed hand and watch this from his heavenly train station.
I think there's more going on with Dumbledore here than I think. He's not this kindly old wizard.
No.
He's Gandalf. Gandalf's a dick. Gandalf does the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
Bilbo doesn't want to go on an adventure. I'm going to throw a dwarf rave at his hobbit hole. I'll tell you what. I'm going to reread these books tonight.
Bilbo hates.
All right. Everybody strap in. Here's what we're going to do. To save time, each of us are going to get a book. We're all going to read out loud at the same time so we can consume 4 books at once.
We just set up a bunch of speakers and play all the audiobooks at once.
There we go.
But like, set up like 80 speakers so you can listen to every disc all at once. So you're listening to like 10 different parts of each book all at the same time.
I'm going to write a paper on this.
On why Dumbledore is actually a dick.
Is your uncle going to argue it?
Oh my fucking god. How do you stand having him constantly harassing you? Like everywhere. He's coming at you from all directions.
Here's the thing. The best thing about this is this dude grew up in a time when we didn't have the internet. And this motherfucker thinks that in some way, shape, or form, he can out-troll me? No, sir! He keeps mentioning these safe spaces. Motherfucker, I don't need any safe spaces. This guy over here, rock solid. And I'm talking about my huge troll boner. He thinks he's getting to me. I live for this shit, dude. I will fuck around with this guy for the end of my days.
So
it's just everywhere. It's just
everywhere. Like Dumbledore. All right, Harry Potter.
No, let's drop Harry Potter.
Unbreakable hand. Go on.
I think that Mr. Glass understands that he is doing something that will create a hero. And he feels that all the pain and suffering he went through as a child is then somehow justified by what he's done.
Yep.
I pretty much says that.
Yep.
Whether that makes him a villain. In Dunn's story, he's the villain. If you're looking at the story from Dunn's perspective, Glass is the villain. But if you're looking at Glass's story, he is sacrificed.
Anti-hero.
He is an anti-hero.
Yeah.
In his version of the story, which is why we see his story first. This is his story more than it's Dunn's story.
I don't understand the thought process, because what is the purpose of a hero? Let's define that. What do you think his theory on why they need a hero? Why does he feel the need to create a hero?
Because a hero provides hope. And people are in a bad way.
So those hundreds of people he killed
are in a worse way.
I'm not saying I'm not saying his thought process is right. I'm saying this is what his thought process is.
They are
because
no longer losing hope.
because to him, the sacrifice of hundreds or even thousands is worth it for the hope of billions. And I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm just saying that's what his motive is. Is he wants to give the world the hope that he had reading comic books as a child. He wants to make that a real thing. Because if he can, then everything he went through, all the pain, the broken bones, the ridicule, it all is somehow in his mind worth it.
These are not villainous motivations.
What was with that scene? But isn't it?
No, the means are villainous.
Yeah. His motivations aren't
villainous. His motivation is to create a hero that gives people hope. That is not a villainous motivation. The way he goes about it is fucking villainous.
The most evil people don't think they're evil.
This is my point.
And see, and
he doesn't think he's the villain.
I think that's why you also have to look at... I think that's why you also have to look at the way the movie is made. The first scenes aren't about Dunn. We don't see him first. We see the baby being born, and his bones are brittle. Then we see Dunn. And we keep going back to Glass's story and filling in his backstory far more than we fill in Dunn's. He's a much more fleshed out character.
Yeah, Dunn is an empty sack of potatoes.
Yeah,
it's true.
And that's, I think that's kind of the point.
He's supposed to be Superman. Superman is fucking dumb.
Is he supposed to be
Superman? Superman's like an alien.
He's not Superman. I just mean he's fucking dumb.
David Dunn is just like a flavorless...
He is a reaction to events, which is what superheroes are. Superheroes are reactionary. The villains are the ones that perform the action. Superheroes react.
Mm.
I mean, that's kind of the through line for most of the superhero stories, except for the ones where superheroes run into each other and fight each other.
God damn, Civil War was so bad. God, I watched it again.
What?
But that fucking Spider-Man.
Spider-Man seems good.
Oh, shit.
I'm really looking forward to Homecoming.
Yeah, Spider-Man's going to be so fucking good. I mean, I'm more excited about Wonder Woman, but Spider-Man's creeping up.
For the most part, hero stories are about the hero reacting to what the villain does. And that's...
Yeah, because...
Perfectly illustrated in this, because Dunn was just such a blank slate.
Yeah. Like, because your traditional hero has an arc, but your villain is almost... Your villain doesn't change through your traditional hero story.
Right.
Right, like the hero ends up having something to overcome, and the impetus is always the villain, but the villain never really changes through the story. Right, like it just provides the same conflict. Unless you're Vader. But arguably, by the time that Vader changes, the conflict is no longer instigated by Vader.
Right.
Then it's the Emperor. You're still stuck on this Dumbledore thing.
No, I just feel like Glass has too much knowledge into the world of comic books, the exact thing that you guys are talking about, like, to not understand exactly what's happening.
No, here's my point is that you're right. He's the villain. And he says that he's the villain, but the things he's doing are not villainously motivated. Which leads me to believe that even though he says he's the villain, he doesn't think he's the villain.
We're going to liberate Iraq. No, except this is the fifth version of the story that we're going to tell you.
We're going to drop a nuclear bomb. Who's the villain in that story?
We're going to end this war.
We're going to end the war. We're going to provide...
By vaporizing 2 million people. Well, about 200,000. And then the other 1.8 million die very slowly, very painfully.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think villain has villainous... Like, I think he knows that. I think he knows all this shit.
I know,
shit.
But my point is that in this specific scenario, like, a lot of times, every villain doesn't have villainous intentions. You're right. But the problem is that not every villain is literally in a comic book story where they have the meta knowledge of the comic book story that they are participating in which they play the role of a comic book villain to create a comic book hero. So, like, you're right. I don't think that most villains do villainous things or are villainously motivated and then do villainous, like, evil, maniacal things or, like laughing to the bank with, like, big sacks with the dollar signs on them. But they also don't have the meta knowledge of, like, I am playing the part of the villain in this story to create the hero, but I'm playing this part to create the hero. I realize that this is a super, like, nuanced, pedantic point that I'm making, but I still think that it's important. It's an important distinction.
I do agree with you.
I understand what you're saying. Like, believe it or not, I understand what you're saying.
I'm going to repeat it and then do it louder. Because that's the problem.
I just disagree with the fact that I don't even know if we're disagreeing on anything anymore. Like, I feel like we've distilled this down so far. I don't even know.
He's the villain.
Yes.
He doesn't think he's the villain.
I think he does. I think he knows.
He says he does. But I don't think you can say you're the villain when you're doing non-villainously motivated actions to be the villain.
You don't think he can be self-aware
enough? He is self-aware that he is the villain in Dunn's story. His story is not Dunn's story.
Yes.
In his story, yes. That he is the only one that's privy to. I think him and his mom, because I think his mom kind of knows what the fuck is up.
Yeah, his mom knows she fucked up.
I think his story, in his story, ultimately what he is doing is giving the world a hero. So in his story, he's doing something that is ultimately for the greater good. He just has no fucks to give about what he needs to do to make that happen. He is providing a context for which a hero can rise up.
I feel like you guys are giving him this, like, this motivation that I didn't see in the movie. I don't feel like he felt he was giving people hope, or, like, I didn't feel like he was creating this hero for other people. Like, all he talks about is himself, and how needing to find this person to feel like he had a place for himself.
Right. And I think that's part of the justification he has for doing terrible things.
But that's not this philanthropic thing that you guys are talking about. That's very selfish.
He does.
Oh, it is selfish.
Literally say earlier that people have lost hope and they need a hero for the hope. Are you, like, that is not a quote, but he says those things. Like, explicitly.
I think he says it to Dunn and his son when they're in there.
Yeah, but does he just say that to them to get this ball rolling? Because all he talks about at the end of the movie is him. Like, finding his place and how he feels like he has been, like, validated. And
yeah.
Like, his existence has a meaning now because
he created a hero. He created a hero. In his mind, he created a hero.
I don't agree with what you're saying.
Because if he wouldn't have done these things, Dunn would have been this mediocre security guard who would have moved to New York because his marriage failed.
And 5,000 people would have died.
Jerked off into a cup.
No, I agree with Tony.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of whose perspective you're looking at. He's a villain. He's a bad guy. He is a bad dude.
I didn't get from the movie that he had all these big philanthropic like ideas about what he was doing. It was more about himself. Like, why was I born like this? Like,
I mean, that at least I understand, right? Like, that's pretty common. I mean, I'm not born with a like super non-dense skeleton, but understanding my place in the world is a fairly common human theme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but most of us don't kill a couple thousand people trying to.
I'm not looking for a superhero.
Yeah, I'm looking for a man with a slightly better immune system than me.
Literally, you are surrounded by nothing but, except for your boss.
Yeah. I told you we'd do an Indiegogo campaign to get you an immune system transplant.
I mean, he says it at the end. I should have known I was the villain all along. They called me Mr. Glass. Or I should have known I was a villain because of what the kids like that.
Whatever that line is. I know, but he hadn't done anything yet.
Also,
so did those kids make him the villain?
You should have known he was a villain all along because if you know M. Night Shyamalan's style, it was anyone who had flashes of color in the scenes that they were in were the bad guys.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And the scene where he's walking through the stadium, at one point he turns and his coat flares.
That's all
and
purple.
The inside of his coat is all purple. Everything outside is dull, washed out colors, but the inside of his coat is vibrant purple. And I remember watching the movie in the theater, and I remember, I get it. I know what's going on. Like, to Julie, I was like, I know what's going on. She's like, I don't.
Yeah, she's like, stop touching me too much. Yeah. Like, Christ, just let me watch the movie.
Because, like, at that point, I figured out he's the bad guy. I didn't know how, and I didn't know why. But
that was my problem, was there wasn't a bad guy until that very last moment. Like, I didn't understand what a bad guy would have done for this entire movie, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't make the connection between all the
accidents, like the accidents,
even though it makes sense because he keeps fucking talking about them, like, mm-hmm. just over and over, like...
He had intimate knowledge of all of them.
Yeah. Well, but, like, until that point, I was like, okay, so he fought some dude who murdered a couple people, like, this weird, like, this just super weird scene. Just, like, everything about... Okay, but... And so the whole movie, I was trying to find the conflict the entire fucking movie, and it, like, I feel like it literally doesn't show up until those last moments, where it's like, oh, I created you... And to do it, I fucking killed a bunch of people. Like, all the shit we were talking about, yeah, I did that.
Who is the main character of this movie?
Well, you already said it was Glass.
It was the sun!
But that's not what you said earlier. That's what I said. You said it was David Dunn earlier.
Double D.
Sure.
But if you look at him as the main character, yeah, nothing happens.
Yeah.
Anytime he was on screen, it felt like an eternity.
Yeah, my whole life has.
So, like you were like right. Drowning in a pool.
Drowning.
Can we talk about that hero scene where he goes upstairs and goes shh to the wife, or to the woman?
Who's apparently dead.
Who is apparently dead. But she was clearly breathing.
She wasn't looking at him was my problem. Like, she didn't move at all. She wasn't looking at him, but he was going shh. And I was like, if I was still alive at that point, you walking in a fucking...
Yeah.
Huge-ass poncho going, shh, is not going to, like, chill me out. Like, that is next level insanely scary.
Like, those fucking... He opens the door and those fucking kids don't just start screaming. Like, what the fuck is this monster? What the fuck?
All right. Can we talk about...
No.
How...
Next.
Dumbledore.
This broquet little immersion I had.
Immersion.
So this guy... Who killed the husband, apparently, and, like, tied up the kids and the wife, apparently tied them up so loosely that somebody could come in and untie them,
But they were not loosely tied up. No. Yeah. They were bleeding from being bound so tightly.
Also, he's apparently gone all day at work, and you're in a not loosely populated neighborhood. Like, you're not in the boonies. Like, you're in a neighborhood where you could scream for help, right? What the fuck? Like, I don't understand what happened. Also, I'm like 99% sure that wife was alive in that fucking scene.
She may have been. I think she was alive when he untied her.
Okay. But then she died.
I think she dies.
Okay.
She does die. She's dead.
That's what the newspaper
said. I think she was alive when he untied her, but who knows how. That's what I said. As soon as he untied her, I was like, she's going to fall the fuck over because she has to be like super malnourished
and exhausted.
Just.
But the kids
like, God knows, like, what, you know? Yeah. So, and then she falls over, and I'm like, yeah, that's about right.
I don't know. Like, what? I don't know. Just, like, nobody called 911. Nobody had a... Nobody screamed for help. Nobody...
They were tied up.
At what point? Yeah, what point are you talking about now?
He ties them up. He leaves to go to work the next day.
They're tied up.
Scream something. I don't know.
Maybe they did try to scream.
Depending on the layout of the house, where they're located, and how far away they are, the house is from the street, screaming all you want may not help.
The kids, nothing was going to, like, they weren't going to be able to do anything.
They were in a closet or a bathroom.
They were in
a
bathroom, an interior bathroom. She maybe
was right next to the balcony.
She was next to a window, but the window was facing into their backyard.
I think. Is it the backyard or
was
the side yard?
And had it's the she backyard because the pool was underneath the balcony.
Yeah, and had she been moved there?
Right.
Like, was she also in the bathroom and then had just been moved so this dude could, like, rape her or something?
Yeah.
Spit champagne on her?
It was not champagne. It was beer.
It was beer?
Oh. Don't try to fancy this up. Yeah,
did that guy seem like a champagne bloke?
No, he seemed like a Pabst Blue Ribbon kind of guy.
Oh, God, PBR is so gross.
He's white trash and he's in trouble.
Alex needs a monocle. All
right.
That whole scene was weird to me because that's like the climax of him like embracing this role as unbreakable.
And he's embracing it with the only emotion he has.
Nothing. But immediately his first foray into heroing, he comes across his kryptonite,
oh, God,
which is a black water. Tarp in a pool. At first, I thought when that pole comes into the water, I thought it was Glass's cane.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Why is Glass here? But then it was the kids. And then I was still like, what the fuck are these kids doing?
They angled it the right way that it did totally look like Glass's cane.
I think that was probably on purpose.
Yeah.
But I was like, the whole time I was like, what is happening? Like, there's no dialogue in the, well, like very little dialogue. I think he's like, shh. To the kids or something.
Did you guys like Glass's triple monitor setup? Except computers weren't very powerful back then, so they had to have triple Mac Pro G5s running, one to run each monitor.
I'm going to be honest with you, I did not notice that he had three monitors at all.
He did have three monitors.
I have three monitors.
The camera focused on them very heavily for like 2 seconds.
Was that heavy 2 seconds?
Heavy 2 seconds, yes.
Honestly, Alex, there was more camera. The tarp had more camera time. Of course, the tarp was the true villain.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it showed more range than David Dunn's character.
And see, I don't think that is a flaw. I don't think that was. I think it was intentional that he was that
blank.
Yeah. He was blank.
I hated him.
I hated him and his stupid faced kid. His dumb wife. I could have done without his wife. She added nothing to the story for me.
She added motivation for why he didn't continue his super aggressive physical lifestyle of being a football player.
Mm-hmm.
So then he just entered the quiet life of
It's what would have exposed his powers. Right.
My other thing is, how would he have not realized that his entire life he wasn't sick?
I don't understand. So he went to work. He went to work, and he's like, how many sick days have I taken over the last 5 years? You seriously can't recall whether or not you've taken a single sick day over 5 years? I know I've taken a sick day over 5 years. I don't have to check with anybody.
Yeah, I took two this week.
Wouldn't, but I don't even, like, before...
and it's Wednesday, by the way.
Before he would have even gotten to adulthood to be able to ask anyone that, his parents would have been like, our kid is never sick. Like,
no.
This kid has never had a fever, because that is, like...
He didn't have pneumonia.
Except that he almost drowned.
43% of a parent's life when they're small children like that is dealing with them when they're sick. Like,
he did have pneumonia.
Okay.
Post-drowning.
Water. No, my kryptonite.
My kryptonite.
I might be unbreakable too, because I also
drown.
Can drown.
My kryptonite that comprises 70% of me. Oh no.
I also just don't like Bruce Willis.
Get out.
I don't like
really?
Bruce Willis. I don't like him as a human being.
I don't like you as a human being
like
now.
Him. Wow.
First wrong about Dumbledore, now Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis isn't a good person, and
he's not a good person.
He's not a good person.
He probably isn't. I don't know, but now I just assume that there's something wrong.
Why is he not a good person?
There were a bunch of stories of him like sexually harassing people.
That seems normal.
But I can't think of any movie he's been in where I'm like, oh yeah, I fucking want to see more of this Bruce Willis guy.
Have you not seen Die Hard?
No. Does that look like the type of movie I would enjoy?
It's the type of movie everyone enjoys.
I don't know, are you a human person?
Is water your kryptonite? Because you would like Die Hard.
What else?
Surrogates was good. The Fifth Element?
That is a good movie.
Yeah, it's a damn good movie.
That is a good movie, but that's in spite of
Looper.
Looper.
Look at all those Macs.
Alex, how long did you spend looking that up? Moonrise Kingdom?
I don't know if I ever finished that.
I can't.
And I liked Edward Norton more.
I cannot help you.
In that.
I don't know.
Did we ever finish Moonrise Kingdom?
I don't know.
Sounds like no.
We watched it on the way to Maine.
It sounds like no. Let me continue looking through here. What about Nancy Drew?
A Nancy who?
Never mind. What about the astronaut farmer?
No.
Is that somebody that farms astronauts?
It'd be surprising to learn I have never
seen it. I have never seen it either.
Is there like a place where astronauts are grown?
It's Ohio.
Oh, damn. I never noticed that. Several scenes relating to Mr. Glass' character involve glass. As a newborn, he's primarily seen as reflected in glass. As a young child, he's reflected in the blank television screen.
Mm-hmm.
He leaves his calling card on the windshield of David Dunn's car. He's reflected in glass frame in his art gallery. His walking stick is made of glass.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking 12 Monkeys?
12 Monkeys is so good.
I have never seen the entirety of 12 Monkeys.
My God. Not even Brad Pitt's crazy eye?
Let's talk about how dangerous a walking stick made of glass is.
And any of these movies that you've listed, like, I like the movie around Bruce Willis. Like,
what about Look Who's Talking?
Does he play with the baby in that?
He's the voice of Mikey.
Yeah, he voices the baby. He's the voice.
I don't even know what to do here. I just can't deal with it. What about Death Becomes Her?
Ooh. I've never seen that.
Death Becomes Her is pretty funny.
It is pretty funny.
Bruce Willis isn't my thing.
Well, here we are.
He was in a Gorillaz music video.
Disappointing.
Is that disappointing for the Gorillaz?
You are the Gorillaz. I did notice errors made by characters. After David notices the man in the orange jumpsuit in the train station is doing his job picking up bags of garbage from cans, he does not put another bag of Garl, another bag into the can. That drove me fucking crazy.
Did his hairline recede when he was 12?
Bruce Willis?
Yeah.
He's literally never had hair.
It's been receding from Hans Gruber his entire life. So much so that he had to throw Snape off that fucking building.
He's one of the actors that had no fucks to give about his receding hairline.
You didn't see the movie where Bruce Willis and fucking Snape get into it? Fucking Bruce Willis and Alan Rickman? I've
seen Die Hard.
You get to hear Alan Rickman's horrendous American accent.
I would watch Alan Rickman do almost anything.
Except
star in Die Hard.
Get. You know what? You killed him. This right here. This is
Your actions have both killed Alan Rickman and made Bruce Willis immortal.
He's a fucking time lance. You threw it back in time. It shot through Alan Rickman, killing him, and then injected his life essence into Bruce Willis.
No. Bruce Willis just wakes up every morning and says, always.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bruce Willis is the always.
I've never hated Bruce Willis. I just read a bunch of shit about him that, like, put me off to him. And then, like, him in his movies, I've never been like, yeah, I can't wait to see this next
Bruce Willis movie.
Like, yeah, I can't wait to see that.
Sin City?
I've never seen that.
It seems to me like there's, like, 50 movies here, and you've seen two of them. And this was one of the two.
You didn't mention,
The Sixth Sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny how you didn't mention...
That's not a movie that you're like, oh, Bruce Willis is the best.
Bruce Willis is because so I'm literally never like that.
I know. That's because I don't like that movie.
But I thought that was a half-decent movie.
It was no Fifth Element.
So much better than Fifth Element.
Get out, Tony.
It's a number higher.
Lilo Dallas Multipass.
Multipass.
It's the Sixth Sense, not the Fifth Element. It's better.
Well, then 12 Monkeys must be the best.
It is. What about 300?
Isn't that in 300?
I would mean 2001 A Space Odyssey is... up there.
It is. What it about really 10, is.
10,000 Leagues. Did they make that into a movie? See? No.
I don't know.
Okay. That's no 100 Days of Summer. I don't recommend that movie, by the way. That movie's a rough watch. If you're going to watch that movie, you should watch Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which is the same story, only better.
I didn't really understand that movie when I watched it when I was a kid, but now that I'm an adult.
Which one?
Eternal Sunshine.
That's on my top five movie list.
It's a heady movie for a child.
Yeah. A lot of it doesn't make any sense.
3,000 Miles to Graceland.
But now I'm like...
Now you're like, yeah, this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like, if I could erase Tony, I would just... gone. I'd even do it in the middle of an episode. So you started disappearing and you were just gone by the end. Like, why am I out here? Where am I?
Just in some stranger's house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that happens a lot, so I have a procedure for that. So. All right, well, I'm tired of being right about this while everybody else is wrong.
Have you already started the erasing Tony thing?
Everybody else is wrong, even though pretty much agreed with everything you said.
Yeah, how does that make you feel?
Great.
All right.
Makes me feel hungry.
The twist in this podcast.
Alex was here.
Adam was wrong the whole time.
The call's coming from inside the podcast.
Alex is the villain. Yeah, he created the situation. Yeah,
he's trying to create a hero over here.
The twist is Alex didn't bring up Star Wars once to make us talk about it.
You did.
I did.
Did you? Was it while I was trying to find that specific scene in the movie?
No, it was when you walked. It was when you went to the bathroom. No,
I think it was when he was looking for that. Never mind. Maybe not. I don't remember. I was too busy making Star Wars reference.
What was that fucking book that you put on that put me to sleep in like 5 minutes?
Hyperion.
Right. Don't read that. If anybody's listening.
That's supposed to be excellent sci-fi. I just could not listen to it at 2:30 in the morning, driving back from Chicago in the darkness, because we would not have made it back.
You were making this huge deal about playing an audiobook while we were in the car.
Yeah, and I wanted to let everyone know.
I can sleep through it, and then you played it, and I was like, oh, this is definitely going to put me to sleep. This is no problem right here.
Then I put on Flowers for Algernon. Then Alex stayed up.
Yeah, then that was because you looked like you were falling asleep every 5 minutes for 10 seconds and then waking back up.
Yeah, I was. I told you I had it under control.
What sucks is I get more drowsy behind the wheel than I do in the passenger seat.
Oh, really?
Like, if I'm in the passenger seat, I'm not going to sleep.
Really? I'm out. Any amount of time in a car makes me tired.
Man, I don't get tired until I'm behind the wheel. Yeah. And then, like, half an hour in, I'm like, fuck, I'm falling asleep.
It takes a lot longer than that for me. It depends on my level of tired.
Road noise, any constant hum fucking puts me out fast.
How about Rattlin' Hum?
I don't know what that is.
It's a U2 album.
What?
It's a U2 album.
Okay.
Human music.
Human male music?
Human person music. Bird person music. Rest in peace, bird person.
I don't know what the fuck is happening.
Bird Person is a character on Rick and Morty.
Oh.
Ugh, I haven't watched that show.
Haven't seen it.
I can't. The show is really good if you can get past that.
I can't get past it.
If the show is really much. Clever.
Get past what?
Him belching constantly.
He belches in the middle of everything. I'm just like, oh, stop.
It's more than that for me. There's so many fucking cringy moments that I just can't take.
That doesn't bother me.
The last one that I think I saw was the Purge episode.
Where they put on the mech suits and then just slaughter indiscriminately. For like 10 minutes.
I don't even know if I got to that far.
What was the
Purge Planet?
Yeah, what was the part before that?
I stopped watching it. James was watching it. I stopped watching it when the girl they were trying to save
when they
stole the ship.
Purge Planet. I thought you were like, I'm out.
They tried to rescue some girl and they stole their spaceship.
She stole their spaceship.
She stole their spaceship.
Yes. Then they were stuck on the Purge planet.
Yeah.
This was the plot of the show, yes.
I know nothing of this show, so I'm out. You should not for the conversation.
You should watch it.
It's another in the long and quickly becoming a longer list of adult cartoons.
Dan Harmon.
That's the thing.
Dan Harmon.
I knew he was involved in it.
So, like, I've got this spectrum where I would put, like, Futurama at my happy point. And then slightly farther away is stuff like American Dad. And then this is farther away than that.
I tried to watch an episode of American Dad once.
I have watched a lot of it because I didn't know what else to watch. But it's not good.
Futurama.
It's worse than Smokey and the Bandit.
Futurama isn't racy.
There's a lot of things that are worse than Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah,
Alex.
I wish Futurama was
less highbrow.
Less highbrow?
Yeah, Futurama and The Simpsons are very...
I hate
They rely Simpsons, on though. A lot of puns.
Yeah.
I wish it was less that.
I like cartoons, the adult cartoons that are more, like, aware. Like, I don't know if that makes sense. Like,
also my happy place, Steven Universe.
Steven Universe is not an adult cartoon.
No, but it's so good.
I need racy. I need sexually explicit. I need angrily intellectual.
That's why I think you should try Barak Meyer.
Get the fuck out of here.
Seriously, I'm serious. I think you should give it a shot. Watch the first episode.
What is it with this group and we have this fucking marketing circle jerk where we're always like trying to sell another show to somebody else? What the fuck is this?
So Steven Universe.
So none of us can pay for this shit.
Wait, what was the last show that I really tried to sell you on? I know what it was.
I can't remember.
I do. You're the worst.
God damn it.
Oh, I thought you were just telling Adam he was the worst.
Oh, the show is so good.
But it's just so good. What was
the
last show?
You don't know it all. You're the worst.
That show was really good.
It is really good.
And I got to catch up on it, too.
You didn't watch the last season?
Not season 3.
Okay.
Where do you find time to watch all this shit?
What do you think I do all day?
Play Factorio. Do you do it while you're playing
multitasking?
Yeah. You know, I bought that gaming laptop so I could watch TV and play games at the same time.
That's crazy to me. I can't do two things like that.
I can.
I do most of my gaming right here.
How do you how do you pay attention? Like, how do you fully appreciate the glory that is Wolfie?
I change my eye focuses.
Yeah, it's just one and one.
You get a you
having
get
a lazy light. Eye is really, really beneficial. With Hold that.
On, have you played Factorio? Okay,
there's a lot of waiting.
Is there a lot of mindlessness to it?
I wouldn't say mindlessness, but it is very systematic.
There are things that you can set up and wait for them to accumulate for you.
I don't do that,
but you can.
That's the devil's work, right there. That's the devil of inefficiency talking to you.
That's the devil of also watching television.
No waiting. One, don't build yellow conveyors. As soon as you possibly can, you upgrade that shit to reds. Immediately. You zoom through the tech tree to get there. Immediately get it.
I only build yellow conveyors because...
They're
so cheap,
I do, too. Eventually, I go to the reds, but...
No, not eventually.
Because if I need anything that badly to get that far, that's when I go to trains.
No, that's not the real problem is trains. What the fuck, Tony?
The rails.
That's a fucking sledgehammer to hammer in like a small thumbtack.
When I'm moving mass items across the map though. Alright. It's super efficient. Set that train just to keep going back and forth, filling up and dropping off.
So Factorio is like a resource management
game. It's more like a logistics management game.
Yeah.
Okay.
You mine shit to make things, to make other things, to make things.
To mine more shit, to make more things.
Basically, the ultimate end of the game is that you launch a satellite into space. Building the satellite consumes a massive amount of resources of highly complex types, for which you have to have this sprawling production empire to produce the necessary requirements. It's basically just like a super complicated bill of materials. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, you get to the point where you're putting together stuff for the rocket at the end for the end game, and you need like 10 mulligans. I don't remember what they're called.
Mulligan.
You need 10 things. MacGuffins. You need 10 of them.
MacGuffins.
And by the time you make McLovin's. One, by the time you make one, you've automated the entire process.
So you
take the one, and then you just wait for the rest of them to...
Okay, that makes sense.
It's rocket control.
Have you launched?
That's it.
Yeah, I've launched many satellites. It's rocket control mechanisms. The rocket control mechanism is comprised of a processing unit and a speed module. Okay, so let's just take the processing unit. The processing unit costs you 5 green electronic units, 5 red electronic units, and hydrochloric acid to produce.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's just take the acid to begin with.
Okay.
All right, so the acid comes from a refining process.
I like how he's doing this off the top of his head.
That takes methane and water. It doesn't take coal, though. It just takes methane and water. All right? So then you've produced the liquid acid. Now, to get the oil, to get the methane, you have to refine oil. Now, when you refine the oil comes out into 3 components. It comes out methane, heavy oil, and light oil. And you have to, they come out in different ratios, and you have to, like, they have to go somewhere, and you have to do something with them. If you don't have storage for any of the, like, if you're over on storage for any of the 3, it stops refining all of it. So you gotta find something to do with the light and the heavy oil. Heavy oil you can turn into lubricant, but that's not really necessary for what we're talking about. I just wanted to say lubricant.
Okay. That's for all the factorial sexual activities that happen.
Okay. To mine the oil, you've got to get pump jacks that mine little oil patches. Right. Now here's where this gets tricky.
Okay.
Since you're mining a liquid, you have to transport the liquid. So you can either just refine it where you do it, which is problematic because it's going to refine into two liquids and a gas, and then you're just back at the same fucking problem.
Right.
And until the most recent patch, you couldn't even put anything in barrels other than oil.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't even transport the things that you were refining after you refined them. So they just added that you could do this with barrels, and they added liquid rail cars. So what I've done, which is what I recommend everybody does, is I just carved out this massive oil refining situation, and then I've got like trains that bring oil in from all over the map, and then I got like a million refineries, and then I've got other
trains. There's a sledgehammer,
dude. If you saw how big my fucking base was, it now the trains are the thumbtack, and I need a sledgehammer because I'm out of logistics capacity. So now I've got trains that bring my hydrochloric acid to other parts of my base. Like it's maybe like a full minute train ride away where I'm actually making these processing units. Okay, so that was the hydrochloric acid component for these processing units that took us 18 ways down the line.
Right.
Now let's talk advanced circuits. Okay? So,
Kayla, there's going to be a quiz.
I want you to know that I completely and fully understand what's happening.
I know.
I'm just letting you jerk off about this because I know that
this
you
is
love
not for
it
you.
So much.
This is not for you.
Okay.
So advanced circuits.
Yeah.
Just keep looking him in the eye every so often.
Advanced circuits take...
It's necessary. It's necessary. He needs that.
The advanced circuits take green electric circuits, copper wire, and plastic. Okay? So the copper wire is easy. You can just take copper and turn it into copper wire. Now, the problem with copper wire, though, as you probably well know by now, is that green circuits require copper wire and red circuits require copper wire. But you can only produce copper wire at a maximum rate. So if you've got an assembly machine that's taking in copper and you're pumping out copper wire, you're going to run into a problem where you can only produce it so fast. And another component of this is that your conveyor belt that you're putting the shit onto moves at a consistent rate. Which means that you can produce more copper wire out of this assembly machine than you can physically fit on the conveyor belt. So you're capped at the amount. And once it moves past that assembler, the next assembler in a line can't put it down because there's something already there. So the production capacity in copper wire is a complex dance of trying to maximize the amount you put on belts. Tony never has this problem because he doesn't build to the scale that I build.
I also haven't played in
I've got
months.
20 assemblers. All they're doing is making fucking copper wire. That's still not enough. Okay. Plastic. Plastic is another situation. Plastic also takes the methane we were refining from the oil from the first step, but it requires coal to pump out plastic. And then you've got to make all this shit fit together. The real complicated part of this is that you're bringing in materials and then refining it, and then those materials, those intermediary materials, have to go to other places to assemble it. So you've got like these snaking paths of like materials that get turned into other materials and then kind of like snake back in and then like use both sides of the conveyor belt. It's this whole fucking situation. Anyway, so all through and through, the whole process from start to finish making one of these processing units probably takes about 24 assemblers of various steps.
That's expert language for 24.
Yeah. I like that. probably takes, I don't know, maybe 400 copper plates.
How many Kiefer Sutherlands are involved?
Many. Probably 32.
Are any of them the Lost Boys, Kiefer Sutherland?
No. They are all the body.
There are no sexy vampires?
No, they're all the body, Kiefer Sutherland.
Sounds...
I personally didn't find any of the vampires from Lost Boys to be sexy, so...
I've never seen it, but it looks really fucking stupid.
It's not.
It had that amazing...
gay sex scene?
No, that would be amazing. It had that amazing song from... I forgot the band's name. Cry Little Sister.
Mm.
That's a really good song.
That is a good song.
I want to say it's like Sister Mercy, Sister or something. Something weird like that.
Sisters of Mercy?
Sisters of Mercy. Yeah, that's it.
Go on.
That's what I wanted to hear.
We took an interlude.
Yeah.
Probably about 200 coal.
200 coal.
200 coal, because you got to produce that plastic.
Yeah.
All right.
That plastic, yo.
That plastic.
That plastic, though.
Probably 200 gallons of oil, because you got to split it, and you're only going to get about a third of the oil back in methane. Then you got to transport it, so there's probably maybe 50 pipes involved.
I have a question. Was it always methane?
Yeah. Methane, heavy, and light oil.
Okay. I didn't remember methane being a component.
Yeah. Then you got to worry about your various conveyor belts. I don't ever use the slow one. I mean, I use it in the beginning, but as soon as I possibly can, I upgrade it. I don't have time to fuck around with that capacity.
How many steps would you say it is from start to finish launching a satellite?
It seems like the number of steps has increased.
The number of steps has increased because they changed the way that science research is done. Like, it used to be three tiers of research materials, and then the fourth tier, like, you had to kill these aliens, and they would drop this shit, and you can turn that into research. But they got rid of that, thank God.
It wasn't even that they dropped the shit. You had to go take out bases.
Yeah, it was tedious.
It was really tedious.
And they also, like, the military shit didn't scale, so, like, they were more powerful than your most powerful weapons, like, by a lot. So at a certain point, it became like a long exercise in doing this that was not fun. So I usually play with a mod that as soon as you killed one of them, they dropped one. That was the cheat around that. Anyway, so they got rid of that and they added three new science pack types. So that has increased the length of time that it takes to do it. Because you have to have all three to get to the rocket stage. And making them is usually costly. Like, the intention of the science pack is that the infrastructure required to produce the items that are required to produce the science pack motivates you to expand and increase your production capacity, right? Because all the things that produce the science pack use more and increasing complexity of intermediate components.
Like, explain, like, what the first two levels of the science pack are. That I think there's...
Yeah, so
and then it kind of scales up from there.
Yeah, so, like, the first level is, like, I think it's a gear and a copper plate. So, like, copper plate you can just smelt from copper ore, and that gear you can just make out of iron ore, which is just... Or iron plates, which is just smelted iron ore. So, like, it's super simple to create. The second tier is you have to actually make belts, and then feed the belts in, and then make little grabber things, right? Which what you're using to put shit and take shit off of belts anyway, right? So at the point that you've gotten to that second tier of research, you've already automated all of the production of the tools that you are using to build your factory. And then the third tier is, I think, a higher tier level of grabber, like a fast grabber.
It's faster, smart, or maybe electric.
I think the fast one is first, and then the smart one is...
For the research?
Yeah.
No, it was military.
The military is the grenade and...
Yeah. That's the third tier. From the way that it was laid out in the new introduction campaign, it's military is the third one.
Oh, is it?
They give you access
to it. Oh, shit, I never did that. Anyway, so... I don't know. The game I'm playing right now, I'm probably like 52 hours in, and I've launched 4 satellites.
You just continue launching satellites forever?
Yeah, so they changed it so that the game, you win when you launch a satellite.
Right.
But that's you right. can continue playing, and when the satellite comes back, it gives you 1,000 of the, like, end game research materials. And then once you get through the full tech tree... There's infinite research where you can continue to increase the speed of your drones, your mines, and something else. There's some other thing that you can increase the speed of infinitely. I don't remember what it is.
So after you've launched one satellite, how come you can't just keep pumping out satellites?
Because they're super expensive to create. And eventually you run out of resources.
Yeah.
Like, this is part of the problem I've got now.
Yeah, you get a minefield that's for iron. Mm-hmm. And then you have another minefield for
Copper.
And then there's another minefield for stone and for coal, but they can run out. And when they run out, there's just an empty spot there. And you need to go find more.
Yeah. So that's where the trains come in now. And there's this whole... There's a bunch of different design philosophies, right? So one of the big ones I subscribe to is the mainline philosophy, where basically you do all of your ore refining off in the distance, and then you just have like one long four-pronged line that comes over and then down into your factory. And then when you need materials, like you need to create iron gears or whatever, you split off the main line and pump that off down a side. And then you do all your production on the sideline and then feed materials back to your main line and then kind of cross and go back over the main line. That's a super complicated setup because there's a whole situation where you have to start balancing the load on the lines. So if you only split your end one into two, you're going to split half of your iron off and then half of it's going to keep going down. So you'll have three full lines and then one half line. So to fix it, you have to rebalance. So you've got to split all of the lines into each other. And there's like this complicated mechanism that lets you like funnel and then unfunnel. That's a whole situation. The game is so fucking complex. I can't even describe it.
One of the tough things that I had to get over the first time I played it was just the fact that nothing you build is precious.
Yep.
Just you're gonna reconfigure everything over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Hardest lesson for me to learn was don't make a loop.
No loops.
It seems like it would work. It does not work.
It can work on a very small scale, but as soon as it's not scalable at all. If you're not careful, and you have to maintain it. It's not
no matter what, it will eventually stop working.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's better to just let everything back up forever, because then you can be like, oh, I need more of this to process it faster.
Now, I have used loops when I need to, right? So, like, ratio management is key. So, like, I can split a line, and that'll do 50-50, but sometimes I don't want 50-50. Sometimes I want 75-25. Well, there's no good way to model that. So, like, I've had, like... electronics coming down this way, and then I've split off electronics and then had it come down a line and then dump back into my main line, because I won't use as many on the sideline as I will on the main line. So if I take 50, put it back, and then it goes 50 again, then I've done 75-25.
Actually, splitting 75-25 is easy. You split the line, you have 50-50, you split one of the 50s and dump 25 back in, and you have 25 coming out. What?
I was already out of room.
All right.
Space was an issue.
I did like how they changed the functionality of the way things act when they're in something. Like the way you can set up the research labs and have everything go into one research lab and then have grabbers take from that research lab and put into other research labs. That was really cool. I one of the videos that I saw from that link you posted.
Yeah, that check.
I just happened to click on one and watched it for a couple minutes, and she's like, oh, and then you take advantage of doing this. And I was like, oh, that's new. That's very cool. I didn't know you could do that.
Oh, shit. I never even thought of doing it.
Yeah,
that way.
And I set up a grid.
That's clever.
I set up a grid of like 16 labs, because it was just in the campaign, so I didn't need many of them.
Oh,
but
God damn
you have one thing going in,
yeah,
and then just grabbers
pick out a new
distributing probably them all across the other ones. Super efficient, and I mean it took almost nothing to set up. You just need the space for it.
Oh, that's clever.
It was very clever.
The other half of the game is like the game has been made by people who are like clearly.
Buddy.
The people who made the game are engineers, and they spent a considerable amount of time making the interface like efficient and effective. Like the keyboard shortcuts, there's little tips and tricks that let you do things that are so fucking quick, so you're not just repeating the same shit over and over. Drones, fucking drones. All right, I've jizzed enough about this game.
All right.
Satellites. The satellite changes have been fucking awesome. You seen the satellite changes?
No, I haven't got that far.
When you have a satellite, the radar thing, Mm-hmm. You have the radar thing. If you go to the map and you've got a radar thing in a section, you're not standing in it. If you zoom in, you see the spot instead of the like ambiguous map.
Oh, yeah.
You actually see it. And if you're using blueprints, you can place blueprints on the thing and you don't have to be anywhere near it.
Oh, that's cool. It's that's very cool.
Hot. Yeah.
Oh, it's on
yeah, the and the blueprints. The blueprints are so good.
Interesting. Yep. In 10 seconds.
When I was really into it, I had blueprints set up for doing battery farms and solar farms.
Yeah.
And then just had one. I had like a billion batteries, solar farms to collect it all, and then I also ran a steam.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Steam electricity just to keep a constant flow, just in case something glitched out. It was just a way to constantly keep energy going.
You do have to keep that flow constant.
You do.
Yeah. I was so happy when I got to the point where I didn't have to do steam anymore.
I still use it.
Not using coal made things so
much it makes the better. Biters not come as quick too.
I still use it to get rid of all my wood.
Mm.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because it just sits in my fucking logistics network.
The first time I played it, I didn't really have any forests near me.
There was a mod that I had that you could build a deforester item. And you just drop it in the middle of the forest and it would just eventually clear the whole forest for you. It was glorious.
That's what I just use drones for.
Jesus, Panda.
And you can filter your, like the deconstruction blueprint, you can filter.
Mm.
I found that fucking out. There's fucking, like, I accidentally clicked third mouse wheel, clicked the fucking thing, and it brought up this whole interface, and I was like, what the fuck is this? And like, you can switch it so that it's additive or subtractive.
Oh, wow.
So, like, yeah. Oh, please, don't destroy my roboports or my power lines, but fucking destroy everything else. What the shit? Wow. Where has this been all my fucking life? And there's just a fucking checkbox that's trees only.
Oh.
What?
Nice.
God damn it. Fucking personal roboports. The power armor is so good. I gotta go, man.
He's gotta go play now.
I gotta go play.
All right.